Today's daf in Masechet Yoma, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Mem Beis. And we had gotten all the way up to we finished the story about Ravya Bar Kisi, and those were the last words that we had. That's Mechaper Kesar Mishtalayach, and we were up to Amr Yitzchak Shtei Shechitot Shamati. So we've gone through a number of things in which we had heard two different shiurim for two different shnitolats, and then we had three different weights for three different shnitolats, and now we have two different shchitas. I heard, says Rabbi Yitzchak Din, of two different shchitas, but I cannot figure out which one is which. So one of them was kosher bazaar, and one of them was pasul. One of them was a reference to the Por Aduma, and one of them was a reference to the par of the Kohen Gadol. And I was told, and I can't remember which one is kosher with a zar, and one is pasul with a zar. And I can't figure out which one is kosher bazaar and which one is not. So that is our challenge. So it turns out that it's actually a machlokas, itma. Shchitat para v'poro, Rav Shmuel, we have a machlokas about the relationship of a zar to the par of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur and to the din of the Por Aduma. Now, you will recall that generally speaking, the halacha is that shchita is kshera bizar. We don't have a din of kuhuna when it comes to dinim of shchita's kodshin. And yet, over here, we're told that in one case we do. What is that case? The Por Aduma case? Or might it be the special case of the par Shel Kohen Gadol b'Yom HaKippur? So Rav and Shmuel argue about this. We don't know who says what. Chad Omar para psula and paro kasher, and Chad Omar paro psula upara kshira. So they argue as to which one it is. Now, we didn't know which one, but now I think we can figure it out. Tistayim de Rav hu de Omar para psula. It must be that the author of the shita that holds that the par Kohen Gadol is the one that's pasul, that one is actually not going according to Rav, because Rav is the one that says the Por Aduma is pasul, bizar. The Omer Rebbe Zera, Shchitat para bizar psula, the Omer Rav ala, Elazar v'chukasha ninuba. Rav explained, and actually according to the Gro, Rav is the one who's quoted on this up front, when Rabbi Zera said the halacha, that beferish, that if a zar shechs a Por Aduma, it's possible. And Rav himself explained the reason that would be true. Because since it says in the Torah, untatemota el elazar hakohen, veotziota michutz l'machane vishachato talifanav, so apparently that limits the shrita of the Por Aduma to elazar hakohen, in which case a zar cannot do it. Okay, so now apparently we would know. Ask the Gemara, but wait a minute, but that doesn't make sense what you're saying. I mean, it says exactly the same thing. You're telling me, since the word Zot Chukat HaTorah, remember wherever it says the Lashon of Chok, it always means definitively. You cannot change what is in the Pasuk. And in the Pasuk it says Elazar. Well, I got news for you. It's exactly the same situation on Yom Kippur. It says Aharon, v'shachat Aharon, the parachatat ha-shelo, and it said chukat olam l'dorotechem, v'yom ha-kippurim. It's exactly the same thing. So why, if we're ready to analyze Elazar v'chuka, are we not ready to analyze Aharon v'chuka? What meaning is there to Rav's explanation, v'chlam? So asks the Gemara, if that's the case, Rav, maishna pora, tichtiv Elazar v'chuka, Poro Nami of the Kohen Gadol, it says beferish, Aaron v'chuka, v'kriv Aaron et parachatat asher lo, v'shachat et parachatat asher lo, v'ayta zot lachem, l'chukat olam. So, same exact idea. Says the Gemara, well, true, but I mean, chuka is not a reference to anything. Chuka is a reference to those things that are avedes. Shchita is never an Aveda. So does it make sense to say all of a sudden that Chukah comes to define Shchita as an Aveda? That doesn't make sense. So therefore, what it's referring to is those things that are known to be Avedas. Obviously, you can't just use anybody. It's got to be Elazar HaKohen. But those things that are not Avedas, that's not what Chukah is talking about. And therefore, I only think it's important for the Parah Aduma. I don't get it. And what about the Parah Aduma? And the Parah Aduma? The Parah Aduma is also not an Aveda. So Yochi Paranami, you're driving me nuts here. Whatever you say applies equally to the Parah Kohen Gadol and to the Parah Aduma. No, Parah is different. Parah isn't even really Shayach for the Mizbeach at all that you should be talking about an Aveda. The Parah Aduma is not Kutche Mizbeach. You don't do anything to the Mizbeach with it. Parah Aduma has a din of Kutche Bedek Abayit. So then it's a Kal Vachomer. I understand. If you're telling me that even on something that has the level of Kedusha, of the Mizbeach, Rav is saying, well, over there, Chukah doesn't apply to it. So how can he say that Chukah would apply to something that is Bechlal, not even part of the Avedas HaMizbeach? So for sure, Chukah doesn't apply to it. So it's even a Kal Vachomer. So now there's less of a reason for me to say that the Parah Aduma is the thing that's going to be Ma'ukav if it's done with a czar, isn't it? So Balav Kol Dechenu on Reb Shisha Ber Ravidi, not at all. Absolutely not. Because what you're doing is you're thinking in a box over here. And that is that what you're thinking is that since it's less, the Kachem is Be'ach, so therefore it makes no sense to say that Chukah goes on. It's exactly the opposite. When you have something that comes out of left field, let's take a look at Maros Negoyim, okay? Does Maros Negoyim have anything to do with Karbonos? Zilch. Is there a din that only a Kohen can see the Maros Negoyim? Absolutely. So why didn't you say, what do you mean? It's a Kal Vachomer. How could there be a din of Kohen on the Maros Negoyim? That's an absurd taina. The Maros Negoyim were given to Kohenim. Fine, so the Parah Aduma were given to Kohenim. So now you're going to say, so since Aveda is, since the Shechita part is not an Aveda when it comes to the Kachem on the Mizbeach, therefore it's irrelevant that it should be the Guna with the Parah Aduma, how does that follow? The Din of Parah Aduma is a completely new set of issues that require a Kohen for. So what's the problem? In that case, you need the Kohen, the Chukah, applies to every last detail. There's no difference between the Shechita or anything else, right? That's what Rav is saying. So this new halacha that kahuna is required for the Parah Aduma, it makes sense that the chukah would apply equally to all aspects of the Parah Aduma. Masha Einkein, to take chukah and to apply it to something which is one of the general set of avedas, which always can be done by a czar, despite the fact that it's kachem mizbeach, that doesn't make sense. So why should we say that? Why should we say that chukah changes that at all? Therefore, says Rav, Aitaina, the problem that we've got with Chukah would only be Nogea, the Shechita of the Parah Aduma. So Amar Reb Shisha Ber Ravidi, let's see that inside. Mide Dehavi Amarot Negaim. It's no different than Negaim. Negaim is a different set of things. They are not Avedas at all. And Bayi Kahuna, the same thing is true over here. There's no Aveda at all when it comes to Parah Aduma. And yet it requires the Kahuna. Okay, so then let me ask you something. So this is what Rav holds. Okay, so then Shmuel must be the one, therefore, who says that it's the part of the Kohen Gadol that cannot be shechted by a czar. So let's try to figure out, so what's his logic? The Shmuel, the Amar Paro Psula, I mean, I'm assuming that it comes from the fact that it says Chukah on Yom HaKippurim, and it mentions specifically, Aitaz Zot Lachem L'Chukat Olam. And it says, "Beferish v'kriv Aaron et parachatat shelo, v'shachat et parachatat shelo." So, in other words, Shmuel just takes it on face value. So, to have a czar do something when the Torah said chukah that the kohen should do something that we don't do. I forgot to press record here. Okay. So then, why does he think that that's only nogea, the par of the kohen gadol? Because it says Aaron v'chukah. I have the inverse question on Shmuel. On the Parah, it also says Elazar HaKohen and Chukah. That's true, but note the way that it says Elazar HaKohen. It says Untatem ota el Elazar HaKohen, v'yotzi ota el michutz l'machaneh, v'shachat ota, doesn't stop there. It says v'shachat ota lifanav. And what does that mean, lifanav? It means that it has to be in the presence of Elazar. Did it ever say that Elazar himself is the one that had to do the Shechita? No. So therefore, the way I understand it is that it's done under the supervision of Elazar. But if the Tzar does the actual Shechita, why should we say that the Torah was ma'akev? Masha Inkein, when it comes to the word chukah that is said the gabi the par of the Yom HaKippurim, over there it says beferish vishachat et parachatat shelo. The Kohen Gadol himself has to shech the same parachatat that he was the one who was bringing. So I believe it's much more reasonable to say that that chukah is ma'akev than to say the lefanav is ma'akev. And therefore, Vishachato telefanav simply means the Tzar can be shochet, but Elazar has to be ro'eh. So, wait, so according to Rav, how does Rav understand the word lifanav? That's actually a very good point, right? No, Rav says lifanav does not change the equation at all. It's adding something. The reality is that it has to be Elazar. The reason that it stresses lifanav is because we are insisting on something more than we would normally have. So normally we can have the Kohen do the act of Shechita. We don't have a halacha except when it comes to the tzitz. When it comes to the tzitz, we say the Kohen has to have that tzitz on him and not to be mesiar bato from it. He has to constantly be aware that it's alaf tamid, right? Yeah, same thing is true of fire. When it says lifanav, it means in your face, meaning it's got to be something that you're very profoundly aware of. That's what it means. So then when you're being Isaac in the Pora Aduma, you cannot be Mesiach Da'at. So that's the idea. And as it happens to be, the truth is that Hasochas Das, even though that's one of the Malais of Pora, but Hasochas Das is a very foundational element of the Pora Aduma. So it makes sense that there would be an indication in the Pasuk upon which the Rabbanan made all of their special dinim, that Hesach Hadas is actually metame when it comes to the Parah Adumah. So if it says Allah, it means that he is mechuyev to be deeply aware of it. That part is a deraisa. The fact that Hesach Hadas could cause tuma, fine, that would be an extension to Rabbanan. So it works out beautifully. But then how does Shmuel know? Shelo yasir batom minole. That, he says, there's another time that it says le'inav. Because it also says, Visaraf et apara le'enav. Why does it stress le'enav? So one le'enav is there to tell me, Shelo yasir b'ato. And the other lefanav is there to tell me that he doesn't have to physically do it himself. He only has to be present when it's being done. And Rav says, no, I need both of them to tell me the din, that lo yasir b'ato b'fanav. And I would not be able to learn out Shechita from Sreifa or Sreifa from Shechita. So Rav says, Chad b'Shechita, v'chad b'Sreifa, they both mean the same thing, and we need both examples with Tzricha. Because let's imagine, Ikat Avrachmana b'Shechita, that Elazar has to be aware of it the entire time of Shechita. I would say, yes, that makes sense. Because that's the Tchilata Avodah. So when we're defining what something is, it requires more consciousness than when we're just going about our business on something that's already been defined, as all of us know from our daily lives. You've got to start off what you're doing with a clear sense of intention and understanding, and then it sort of becomes more or less automatic. And that makes sense. But I wouldn't have applied that to the Sreifa. Maybe over there already we're well along and don't require that much awareness of what it is that we're doing. So therefore, tzricha. And then what about the other way around? Let's say the Torah said, you must be aware of it during the entire time that you're burning the Pora Aduma. I would say, okay, that makes sense. Because ikat avrachmana b'sreifa, I mean, look, that's the main point of the Pora Aduma. I mean, every animal that we're going to use for some purpose or another goes through shechita. So, I mean, that's not specific to the Pora Aduma. If the Torah is insisting on a special level of consciousness that is supposed to apply to the Pora Aduma, it would make sense that it would be in that special, unique aspect of the way in which the Pora Aduma is done, and that is that the burning of the Pora Aduma for all of its understanding of the relationship that it provides us between the underlying realities of life, the chemical instructions for life on the one hand, and the actual organism that is living, that's the point. So, of course, you have to be aware of what I'm doing at that point. That's the whole issue. But Shechita, I mean, Shechita is sort of a logistical requirement. I would say when I'm doing the Shechita, maybe I don't have to be aware of it. So it makes perfectly good sense to me that the Torah would need to say twice, Lifanav, and I would not have anything extra, Shmuel, to tell me that one of these Lifanavs is only there to make sure that I don't make the mistake of thinking that I really need Elazar for the Shechita. I maintain you do need Elazar for the Shechita, and the Lifanav has nothing to do with not requiring Elazar. It has to do with more requirements of Elazar, a deeper presence of Elazar in terms of his awareness, both for the Srefa and for the Shechita. So therefore, Tzricha. Okay, so you're telling me I need this level of consciousness, both for the act of Shechita, this is how Rav understands it, both for the act of Shechita and for the act of Srefa. Can you just tell me, like, and not for what? I mean, you keep telling me what you do need it for. So what else is there exactly? As opposed to what? Lemu'ute mai. You're saying you don't need it. Something does not require the full presence, which would mean that midiraisa, there is something that hesach hada'at would not be absorbed. Please explain to me what those things are. So if you're going to tell me, ilema, that it's coming to be mimayit, now this is, the gears of the grog goes like this, and it makes sense in Rashi as well, and also just plain makes sense. That ilema, is it coming to tell me that milui of the mayim, and the kiddush of the mayim, so that would be filling up the containers for the mayim chayim, and then actually putting the ashes of the parah into the mayim, and that is what does not require your das? That doesn't make sense. Because over there, the Torah specifies the contrary. It says, l'mishmeret l'meinida. What does mishmeret mean, man? Well, the whole point of Bishmeret means for you to be aware, concerned, and involved. So how can you tell me that that's what does not require consciousness? That's the main thing that the Torah says, you better darn well take good care of this, right? So, I mean, it certainly would, if anything, would require more consciousness. So that can't be what it's coming to be mamayit. So could you tell me what it's coming to be mamayit? Because this certainly doesn't make sense. This is Bishmeret l'meinida. Must be coming lemeute hashlachat eitz erez ve'ezov ushnitolat. This actually reflects back on what we were talking about yesterday, where we know that we have to throw into this reifas hapara, we've got to throw in an eitz erez and an ezov, and we wrap it with the tolat shani. I mean, that is necessary, but I mean, it doesn't have anything to do with parah gufa. It's a lot of gufa to parah. That's something that comes from the outside into the parah, and I mean, it in no way makes sense to us specifically that this is the way that you need to burn the parah aduma. In which case, that is probably the most logical thing to say is not included in the specifics of lifanav that we mentioned twice for Elazar, and it's certainly not included in the din of lemishmeret lemeinida either. And therefore, that would be what doesn't require full das, and hezek das would not possible because it's lav gufa de parah, you know, it's not an actual part of the body of the parah. So now let's just take a look, because these are not the only people that are involved. It's not just Rav and Shmuel that are involved in this machlokas. I mean, itma shchitas parah bizar. So Rabbi Ami also said it was kshera, and Rabbi Yitzhak Nafcha also said that it's psula. Ula also had an opinion, but we're not quite sure what it was. Ula omar kshera, but some quote Ula as saying it was psula. Now, Rav Yehoshua bar Abba, he wants to bring a raya to Rav and to actually show that Shmuel is wrong by bringing an actual braisa. The braisa says like this. Ein li ela hazaat meimeha she'ein kisherin bi'isha ve'ein kisherin ke'ek bi'isha ke'bi'ish ve'ein kisherin ela bi'yon. I do have a marker. We're going to see what that marker is. That the actual hazah of the water, after you already make the water of the parah aduma by bringing the ashes on it, and now we're going to go ahead and we're going to sprinkle that water on somebody who became Tomei Mace. Now, over there, it says Beferish, V'taval b'mayim ish tohor, and then it says, V'izah ha-tohor, So note that there's two fascinating things, right? One is that it stresses a male, an ish tahor. Doesn't say hatahor al hatameh. It says ish tahor specifically. Now that seems to imply that you cannot have a woman who is going to be doing the hazoya. By stressing each time, instead of saying bayom hashlishi v'hashvi'i, say bayom hashlishi, bayom hashvi'i, so then you're stressing to me the fact that it has to be done in the daytime. The only part of the work of the parah that it mentions this idea that you've got to have a male and you've got to have it during the day is specifically when it comes to the din of hazoyas hamayim. How do we know, continues the Braita, how do we know that this is true also about Shechita of the Parah Aduma? How do we know that it's true about the Kabbalat HaDam? Because even though the Parah Aduma is not a carbon, the Torah nonetheless said to be Mekabel its dam and to sprinkle the, you're not in the Beis HaMikdash, you're on Har HaZeisim, but you still are Mekabel HaDam and you sprinkle the dam towards the Heichal from Har HaZeisim. So how do I know that the Shechita, the Kabbalas Adam, the Hazaat Adam, the actual burning of the Parah Aduma, throwing in the Eitz, Erez, Ve'ezov, and the Shnitolad, how do we know that those things also must be done by males and they must be done in the daytime? It won't be kosher if you do it at night. Talmud Lomar, therefore, it adds in the Pasuk specifically, Zot Chukat HaTorah. HaTorah means that it's one chok for the entire chapter, the issue, the Torah of the Parah Aduma. Okay, so if that would be the case, then maybe even gathering together the afar of the Parah Aduma and maybe filling up the water or mixing the water with the Efer HaParah, which is called Kiddush, maybe that also has to be done only with a male, and maybe it too can only be done in the daytime. Talmud Lomar, therefore, it says, Beferish, Zot Chukat HaTorah, this and only this is the Chukat HaTorah. So on the one hand, we have a generalization of Chukat HaTorah, and in the other hand, we're saying it doesn't mean everything, it means only the things that are listed herein. Well, how do I know what's what? Acher Shariba HaKatuv Umiyet. So on the one hand, the Torah is including a lot of additional things besides the Vihiza, and that it's including because of Zot Chukat HaTorah. But on the other hand, it's excluding through Zot. So how do you know the dinim? What dinim are we meant to imply? So therefore, Amart, Hareinu Lameidim Kulan Mihazaat Mimeha. We're going to learn all of the dinim out of Hazoya, just like Hazaat Meimeha, Einan Kisherin B'isha K'B'ish, Ve'ein Kisherin Ela B'yom, Afani Avish Chitata V'Kabbalatama V'Hazaatama V'Sreifata V'Hashlachat Eitz Erez V'Ezov U'Shnito La'ad, Ho'il Ve'ein Kisherin B'isha K'B'ish, Ein Kisherin Ela B'yom. So all of these things, it mentions Elazar, or it mentions HaKohen. So then it's a given that since it mentions Elazar, or it uses the word HaKohen, it's certainly not a woman, because a woman can't be a Kohen. So therefore, those things that it mentions Elazar on, which are all the things that we listed, those things are also similar to the Hazoya in that they need to be done beyond. Because I see that the other limitation of Isha Velo Isha applies to them. Masha Enkin, the things where it doesn't say anything about Elazar, and it doesn't specify an Ish, Motzi Ani Asifa Tefra, Umilu Imayim Bekidush, Masha Enkin, those specific things, I have no reason to say that they are not kosher with an Isha Kebe Ish, in which case they're also kosher, Beyomu Balaila, and we really don't care. Okay, yeah. What does this have to do, says Gemara, with what we're talking about? I don't know what you're talking about. We were talking about the question about a czar, and now you're bringing along over here things that have nothing to do with what I was referring to. What are you telling me? Hi, Mighty Yufta. Show me what does this have to do with Zarut? Excuse me? I mean, are you trying to say, I mean, it sounds to me like you're trying to say, that since we're saying that a woman isn't kosher, so because of that, a zar isn't kosher. What does one have to do with the other? How about doing hazaya? Okay, hazaz meimea tochia. Can a woman do the hazaya? No. That's the whole point over here. Is it says ish tohar, ish velo isha. Do you need a coin to do the hazaya of the water? Of course not. Anybody takes a parah aduma and anybody is able, ish tohar, any ish tohar, as long as he's not a woman, but he could certainly be a zar. So I don't understand. So the pasuk itself is saying you cannot derive the din of a zar from the fact that a woman is puzzled. So what are you trying to bring me around? We were arguing between Rav and Shmuel about whether a zar is kosher. And you go and bring me a raya to Rav from the fact that a woman is kosher? A woman is not kosher, I mean? Therefore, a zar shouldn't be kosher? What are you asking? So I might be yufta, excuse me. I mean, certainly, azaz b'imei atochia, shepsulin b'isha v'ksherim b'zar, this makes no sense. Omer Abaye, let me explain to you. He's not looking at this just raw, that a woman is the equivalent of a zar. Of course not. That's a given. Here's what he was asking. He's saying, think about this, okay? How do we derive the fact that the isha is psula? Hainu tiyufta. Isha mai taima. The reason, what would be the reason that we're using this from Bichlal was saying that she can't do the shechita? Because it must be that when it says El Azar, so it means El Azar velo Isha. But I don't understand. I thought you said that it's only in front of him. El Azar? Okay, fine. El Azar cannot be a woman. Thank you. That's all you've proven. But I mean, you said that El Azar is only the one who's supposed to be looking onto this. And somebody checks it in front of El Azar. So why can't that be a woman? Because that's not the way that the Brisa is understanding Elazar. Elazar does not mean lifanav. Elazar means the way Rav understands Elazar. It means Elazar is actually going to do it. And when it says lifanav, it means he's going to do it with his full intent. Okay, thank you very much. So then it is defining who is kosher for Shechita. Elazar is kosher for Shechita. In which case, just like Elazar is not a woman, he's also a Kohen and not a Zar. Thank you. So the two follow exactly. That's all we're trying to prove. We're not looking for the din. We're looking at the way you're looking at Elazar. That's the point. So Shmuel claimed that Elazar does not define anything other than the fact that Elazar has to be in charge of getting this done properly. But that doesn't tell me who can do it. And the Braita is saying that Elazar is exactly what tells you who can do it, not who's in charge. That's the Raya. It's a beautiful Raya. So this is a very good Braita Aliba Derav. Okay. Omar Ula, look, you should know that the whole parsha of Parah Aduma is fascinating because as you go from one piece of the drush in the pasuk to the next, and we're going to go through the whole thing, and what we often will find over here, just like we just did now, on the one hand, we're telling me the chuka defined all things to be the same, and there are things that cannot be done with a woman. And then we go to the Zot to tell me, well, but the Zot is coming to tell me, do not apply chukah to everything. You got to use your brains for what it is that the chukah is applied to. It would only be where we see that the woman is excluded. So therefore, the daytime is excluded. There's a lot of this, says Ula, when it comes to the Paraduma. What very often we'll find is that first the Parsha will say a word that means a specific thing, which you would then think would be applied across the board. And then the very next Rasha says, but don't apply that across the board. So that is called mashma motzi miyad mashma. So many of the words that we're going to be darshaning over here are flipping what we had just said in the previous Rasha and applying it only to specific cases. So the mashma'ut of item B tells me not to apply the mashma'ut of item A. But there's also things which are just straight out mashma'uyot, where we don't define where they apply, where they don't apply. So a lot of it, as you go through the psukim, which I'm going to do with you now, says Ula, you have a mashma that is absolutely flips what was before. So one pasuk and then the next pasuk says, but do not apply that too. And then you have just stam, a mashma, a mashmaut, an implication that remains the same. Let me start going through the drushes with you, says Ula. You'll see what I mean. So let's go on and continue into the next pasuk. All right, so we talked about this idea of lifnei Elazar HaKohen. So the next pasuk says, unetatem ota el Elazar HaKohen. Now, the idea of ota, what does ota mean? Give it and it specifically. What is the it that we're giving to Elazar HaKohen? So ota la Elazar means it means the first Pora Aduma needs to be given to Elazar specifically and not anything else. So the Pora Aduma that is given in future generations is not given to Elazar HaKohen. Okay. Who can say what that means? Gavi, I can't take it. I literally can't take it. How can a person, I can't take it. I don't know. Okay. So, Ikari Amri, so others learn that the Dorot, only the first Koraduma ever, is given to Elazar HaKohen. But future generations are not given to Elazar HaKohen. So, who are they given to? So, some say future generations are given only to the Kohen Gadol. It's not good enough to be Elazar HaKohen. Whereas others learn that the Dorot after the time of Elazar can be done by any Kohen. So Ikari Amrei LeDorot is B'Kohen Hedyot, which is the opposite extreme. So that would mean that it's basically a machlokas whether this is a unique situation in which Elazar HaKohen is the one who does it the first time, but anybody can do it any other time. Or it's a special dispensation that normally we would require a Kohen Gadol. But in this first dar, even the Kohen Hedyot, who's Elazar HaKohen, is also able to do it. So Bishlama, says the Gemara, okay, I understand if you're going according to Mandi Omer that says that Lidorot, it can be done by a Kohen Hedyot. Okay, so that makes sense. I mean, if you're telling, you never said it needs to be done by a Kohen Gadol. The only stipulation that was specific was the time of requiring Elazar, correct? Okay, so if that's the case, I say, when the Torah says apply Elazar, I apply Elazar. When the Torah says you don't need to apply Elazar, it's not Ota, so fine, so don't apply Elazar. That makes a great deal of sense to me. But where the heck would you come up with the rule that if it isn't Elazar, so then all of a sudden it is a Kohen Gadol? I mean, come on, that doesn't follow at all. Why, if it isn't Elazar, is it a Kohen Gadol? So Laman di Omer LeDorot, the Kohen Gadol, what would be the makor of such a thing? Where do I get such an halacha from? Answers the Gemara, that I would learn out from Gzeirah Shavah, that just like it says Chukah on Yom Kippur, and over there, it means that the Haita Lachem Lechukat, the Haita Zot Lachem Lechukat Olam, that this requires a din exactly with the Kohen Gadol and only with the Kohen Gadol. So too, when it says Zot Chukat HaTorah, or it also says the same Lashon, Haita Lachem Lechukat Olam, by the din of the Parah Aduma, just like by Yom Kippur, it means Kohen Gadol, so too by the Parah Aduma, it means Kohen Gadol. If you hold, if you have the Gomar Chukah Chukah, if you weren't Gomar Chukah Chukah from your Rebbe, you can't learn it on your own. So that's the Machlokas. Next, says Ula, let me show you how the next pasuk also uses Ota. So this is Votzi Ota. Okay, what does it mean? Take it out of the Machaneh, Mechutz LaMachaneh, and not something else. So it's Yota, don't take anything else out. Only the Kohen, only the Pora Aduma. Okay, what does that mean? Okay, you've got a recalcitrant Pora Aduma. Okay, now this Pora Aduma is extremely stubborn and you cannot get it to move. Okay, now this Pora Aduma is too smart to go out to Arazesim because it knows what's in store for it on Arazesim. seems to be the same thing that's in store for everybody else on Har HaZeisim. So this para ain't going nowhere, okay? So you're pushing and you're pulling and this para is not budging. So you got this brilliant idea. What you're going to do is you're going to take out a lot of paras and they're all going to sort of wander onto Har HaZeisim. So then the para aduma will feel a little bit more relaxed about the situation. So seeing all her friends going to Har HaZeisim, she figures, they're not going to her Leviah, they're probably going to someone else's Leviah. So she'll walk along with the other parts, right? So that's your idea. No, you can't do that. So it means do not take. The porter refuses to move. Don't take out a black par with it, because then people will say, as they always say, the most ridiculous thing. So people will say, okay, look at this. Obviously, they decided to do a cheapo, and they're going to use a para shechora instead of a para aduma. So we don't want people to say that they shechted the shechora. And you would not be able to take out another para aduma either. That's a different reason, because you can't say that people say that they shechted two paras, and that would be a psul of doing something else with the para aduma. Not to mention the fact that we'll see later on, v'shachat ota means ota v'lo ota v'chaverta. So people will say, maybe you passed the par aduma by bringing two paras aduma. Okay, Rebbe says, don't give me all of this stuff telling me what people will say. It has nothing to do with people will say. It has to do with the pasuk. The Torah said, otzi ota el michutz l'samach. You know how to read? Ota means itself without anything else, okay? I don't need your explanations. People will say X, people will say Y. That's irrelevant. That is a good point. So why was the Tanna Kamma giving us all of this philosophy? We don't want people to say this, and we don't want people to say that. Just say the Torah HaKadosh says, otzi ota el michutz l'machaneh. That's good enough for me. It was good enough for Moses. It was good enough for Moses. So it's good enough for me, right? No, not right. Because the Tanna Kamma is Rabbi Shimon. And Rabbi Shimon says it's never good enough to say, well, it's good enough. That is just pure fundamentalism. The Torah, according to Rabbi Shimon, is meant to be explained as making sense. So therefore, according to Rabbi Shimon, he's always derish time of the Gra. So the Tanna Kamma was saying, what is the reason that the Torah says, Ota v'lo chaverta? Because the Torah does not want people making the mistake of saying that you would be taking the Shechorah, or doesn't want the mistake of people saying that you would be shechting maybe two Pora Adumas simultaneously. That's the point. That's Rabbi Shimon. So then they're arguing about something. What are they arguing about? So what's the difference? You're telling me a big machlokas, whether there's a reason for it, it's not a reason for it. What does that have to do with anything? No, there's a major difference here. The difference is, Ika Benayo, let me show you the difference, okay? Suppose a guy wants to take this Pora Aduma's best friend, who happens to be a chamor, okay? Can you take a chamor out or not? So according to Rebbe, it says take her out by herself. That's what it says in the holy book. And if it's good enough for Moses, it's good enough for me. No chamors. But according to Rebbe Shimon, yes chamors. Because nobody's going to think that you're taking a chamor as a por aduma, obviously. So that can't be the concern. So therefore, the whole point that Rebbe Shimon is making is to tell me, don't think that this is some type of magic isser. You can't take anything else with the para. If you have a robot, you're not allowed to take the robot out with the para. That's not the point. You're not allowed to take something out with the para that might be confused with the para. That's the logic of it. So it turns out there's an afkamina lahalacha between being derish the time of the Korah, where it would apply or where it would not apply. And according to Rebbe, you don't have a right to say that's the reason. How do you know that's the reason?